I'm going to invite you to take out your Inspire Weekly, trying to get you in the habit of writing some things down. So we've actually created a space on the backside. You can fold it in half twice, so that little square on the backside is showing with some sermon notes. Because it's our hope and it's our prayer. In fact, it's our expectation that you'll hear something, or more importantly, you'll think of something in the next few minutes that you want to remember in the coming days. So as we turn to this passage, let's begin with a blessing. Would you pray with me, please? Gracious, loving, and eternal God, use these moments, use these words, use our thoughts and our meditations to move us ever more close to you, we pray. Amen. So in looking to the life and the lessons of Jesus on money, the first of the three topics that we're not supposed to talk about, I want to give you a tip, a challenge, and an invitation over the next few minutes. A tip, a challenge, and an invitation. These might even be the things that you want to write down. First is a tip that has to do with how it is we might be more polite. Now, before you think that's kind of a soft and uninspiring word, remember that the definition of polite is having or showing behavior that is respectful and considerate of other people. Respectful and considerate. Respectful consideration of other people. The first tip doesn't have anything to do with money. It just has to do with how it is we can be civil with one another. And, you know, with the Thanksgiving holiday not too far down the road, I know I need to do a little readiness as my family is going to come together around a table. So my tip this week is this. Listen loudly. Now, to be sure, that's not a new strategy. We're taught from our youngest days to listen to other people. We have, as you know, two ears and one mouth, so that we can listen twice as much as we talk. Or as I like to say, we have two ears that are open and one mouth that is optional. Listening loudly will mean that we hear things we don't want to hear. If we do it right, we're going to hear things that we don't want to hear. The Apostle Paul, in a letter to his student named Timothy, he talked about a time that would come when people would turn away from sound doctrine, but instead have itching ears. He went on to say that they would have itching ears to accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires. You see, we can't have ears that itch only for the teachers and messages that suit our own desires. We have to have ears open to all teachers and to all messages in order to respond rightly. Now, I have a theory about why our listening skills may have atrophied in the last few years. This theory comes out of my own personal experience, and that is that we have stopped talking to certain people in our lives, and so our listening has suffered. Or at a minimum, we've stopped talking to those with whom we know we have different opinions, right? And it's easy to listen to those with whom we agree, but we need to listen loudly, especially to those with whom we think we might disagree. My oldest sister is somebody I used to talk to every week. I haven't talked to her in a couple months, because she and I have gone in some different directions. It's been really hard. I'm a caller this afternoon, so I can practice what I preach. And that's my challenge to you, to do the same. Think of one name, one face, of somebody that you haven't talked to in a while, maybe specifically because you think you disagree with them. You might learn that that's not entirely true, but more importantly, relationship will be restored. If we can build relationships, people, if we can build and maintain relationships, there is nothing we cannot do. So that's my challenge. The tip is to listen loudly. My challenge is to reach out to somebody you haven't talked to in a while. Have a question ready. Have some time set aside. And then just listen. So I want to switch gears then to the invitation for today. Tip is listen loudly. Challenge, call somebody you haven't talked to for a while. The invitation has to do with the first topic in our series, and that is money. Now, money is one of the biggest topics in Scripture. It has always been integral to religious life. The Bible offers about 500 verses on prayer. The Bible offers less than 500 verses on faith, but there are more than 2,000 verses on money and possessions. In the Gospels, 1 out of 10 verses deals directly with money. 16 out of Jesus' 38 parables were concerned with how to handle money. I think Jesus knew, in particular, how much we would struggle with the place and the power and the priority of money in our lives. And I think that's why he talks so much about it. In Mark 12, Jesus talked about proportional giving when he pointed to the poor widow who gave what she had. Matthew 6, Jesus warned us that we would always know where our heart is. Where is it? Where our treasure is. Just follow the money. Luke 16, Jesus spoke of a choice that we would all have to make. He said, you cannot serve God and wealth. You can't serve them both. You can't have two masters. On and on again. He just was really clear about some things. Paul tells us later in Acts 20 that Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And the one that always sticks with me, and something I love to pull up as often as I can, is that life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Boy, does that swim against the grain of everything we hear all day long, everywhere we go. But here's the thing, and I need you to make sure and hear this part of this message. Money and possessions are not in and of themselves bad, evil, or terrible things. It's Paul in his first letter to his student Timothy, where he writes, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." Have you heard that before? I bet you haven't heard that before. I bet what you've heard is that money is the root of all evil. Raise your hand if you've heard that before. It's a terrible misquotation of Scripture. That's not what he said. What he said is the love of money is a root of many evil things. Money in and of itself can do great things in the kingdom of God. Matthew 25, the parable that Danielle just read, can help us with a healthy and positive understanding of money. And maybe give us a little language with which to talk about it, even if you're not ready to talk about it at a dinner party. Context is important to remember whenever we go to Scripture. Context, so Matthew 25, there's only 28 chapters in all of Matthew. So this will tell you that we're getting kind of close to the end of the story, right? And Jesus is using a parable here to make an important point. Jesus would tell stories. Listen, kids, if you like a good story, get into the Gospels. Get into the parables of Jesus. He uses stories to make a really important point, and that's what he's doing now. And he knows he's running out of time with his disciples. And he knows he needs to make sure that he's really clear on things that matter ultimately to him. Now, let me just retell the story real quick in case you fell asleep during the reading or anything like that. Okay, real quick, speed parable here. A man was going on a journey, and so he left all of his wealth with his servants. To one, he left $5,000. To another, he left $2,000. And to another, he left $1,000. He goes away. He comes back. He asks what they did with his money, and he wants to settle up with them. The first two servants each doubled their money. $5,000 became $10,000. $2,000 became $4,000. And the master is pleased. The third servant, however, had buried his $1,000 in the ground and had nothing to show for it but the original $1,000. And the master is not pleased. demands an explanation, and banishes him to utter darkness. The first thing that Jesus is telling us through this story has to do with the source of our money. A really important place to begin. The source of our money. According to the parable, what was the source of the money? Whose money was it? This is not a trick question, people. Whose money was it? It was the master's money. Friends, all that we have, indeed all of who we are, is a gift from God. It is all gift. We are just the stewards of what God has given to us, including our very lives. We are, I guess, you could use the term financial managers of the talents or the money that God has loaned to us. This is a really critical starting point in talking about money. And it's hard for us to hear because we all, every one of us, including the guy you're looking at, we like to think that we are self-made women and self-made men, right? I earned this money, I did this, I got this degree, I got this job, I invested wisely, me, 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 I. You sound like a toddler. But the truth of the matter is that everything we have comes from God, beginning with our very breath. And it might be cliche, but it's true. We're not taking it with us when we're done. I recently heard an interview with one of those estate auctioneers. You know, these people will show up at a large estate, either before or after the owners have died. They come out to liquidate it, right? And so they have this auction. They sell everything. In this interview, it was interesting to hear him talk about the fact that when he sits down with a family, he wants to make sure that they understand. And these are his words. They're going to take their life's work, and in about 4 hours, they're going to dispose of it. In 4 hours, a life's work disposed of. In the end, I think what Jesus is saying is that it's not about what you had, but what you did with what you had. Which brings me to Jesus' second point in this parable. Not only what we did or do with it matters. I'm going to have Michael jump to slide 6. But it really matters to God that what we do with it, it's not just that we judge ourselves or we judge each other. It appears that God is judging us as well, that it really matters to God what we do with what we've been entrusted. You see here in the passage, it says, "Good work, you did your job well." Does that sound familiar to anybody? If you open the NRSV Bible that's in the pews as compared to the Message, which is what is on the screen, does that sound familiar to anybody? What does it sound like? Say it. Come on, you know what it is. Well done, good and faithful servant. Say it with me again. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've all heard that. Most of you have heard that in one context or another. I hear it all the time. And most especially at funerals, I think it's very interesting that I didn't know until just a couple days ago the context of that statement. He's talking about money. Well done with your money. According to Jesus, we're being evaluated based on what we do with God's gifts. So how are you doing? Have you asked yourself that question honestly? How are you doing? Are you wake up in the morning and generous? Or are you holding on to everything with clenched fists, with a stingy mindset? It's not only about money, by the way, I need to be clear. It's about time as well, the gifts that we have to share. Today is the last Sunday of our pledge drive for 2019. Dave and Catherine have done a fabulous job with the effort this year on behalf of all of you. Please extend your gratitude to Dave and Catherine along the way, or right now. I love it. today is the last day of the pledge drive for next year, and it's Mission Sunday, and that's totally on purpose. Intentionally and simultaneously inviting you to share God's gifts through what we're doing here at Wayzata Community Church with your very best financial support and with your time. The ways in which we can serve the world by just making a few sandwiches after church. Now, did you notice the other thing the master said in that slide? It says, from now on, be my partner. Nope, go back, Michael. From now on, one more back, right there. From now on, be my partner. Now, again, if we were looking at the translation that's in your pews, the NRSV, what that would say is, you have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. You know what I love about that passage? Because I think about you students. I think about the fact that you have been found trustworthy. You're a little crazy. You slept outside in the cold. But you have been found trustworthy. And God is going to honor that and give you more to be in charge of. In fact, God wants to be your partner. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty remarkable. God wants to be our partner in all this. Finally, there's just one last thing. And that has to do with fearful living. We're going to jump to slide number 9 here. To the third servant, the one who has buried his money in the ground, remember that? The master says, why did you do less than the least? I love that. Why did you do less than the least? What a really important question for us, because how often is it that we ask ourselves, what's the least I can do and get credit? Or what's the least I can do and still get my name on some list? What's the least I can do to meet the expectations of somebody, anybody? Again, I'm just preaching to myself a lot this morning. Why do we ask what's the least we can do? We should be asking what's the best we can do? Now, the answer to the question of why did you do less than the least, the master to the servant, the answer to the question actually came a little bit earlier in the passage. The servant said, you remember? The servant said, I was afraid. Fear has a terrible and negative grasp on us. Fear always leads to less than the least, not to the most. Not to the best. In the kingdom of God, fearful living is not rewarded. That's Jesus talking, not JR. And he couldn't be more clear. When you are afraid, you do less than the least. We've been tricked into thinking that we won't have enough in our lives. Every single one of us in this room that can hear my voice is among the top one half of 1% wealth in the world. That's just who we are. But we are bombarded with messages that tell us we're not going to have enough tomorrow, and so we're scared. We're bombarded with messages that say we're not going to measure up if we don't have this or that, and so we're afraid. It's easy to understand when we're sold the idea that who dies with the most toys wins. Remember that little book, If You Give a Mouse a Cookie? Raise your hand if you read that book to a child, had it read to you. Oh, good. I'm so glad so many of you know it. Here's the thing about that book. We're fooled into thinking that we're the mouse in the story. But watch what happens when we become the one who gives the mouse the cookie. Well, this brings me then to the invitation, and then I'm done. So the tip was to listen loudly. The challenge was to call somebody you haven't talked to for a while. The invitation is that you simply make a wildly generous gift to someone or to something soon. A wildly generous gift that you didn't expect to give, except that I've just invited you to do that. Doesn't matter when or where or to whom. Maybe you just like outrageously tip a server that is so clearly stressed out in her work. Who knows why? Maybe when somebody comes to the door with a cause that maybe you're not just immediately up for or aligned with, you give to them anyway. Maybe you spend 20 minutes right after the service and go make a couple of the 1,000 sandwiches that we're gonna do. You didn't expect to do that before you came in here today. Maybe you go to one of the tables you've heard about. The mission of this church is outrageously robust. And it's just waiting for you to come and be a part of it. Maybe you can help us furnish the new home of the family that I talked about in the video. I found out over the weekend they're going to be moving into a new home this week. Transitional housing. They're going to need 6 beds. They're going to need bedding. They're going to need a bunch of stuff. If you want to help me with that, just email me, text me, call me, and we'll talk about how to do that together. And of course, I'll be in big trouble with our church treasurer if I don't also tell you to make a pledge, right? But here's why. Watch what happens. Watch what happens in you. See how that unexpected, wildly generous gift makes you feel. And ask yourself, what have I lost in giving that? In what ways have I been diminished by doing this? It won't exist. It'll be minimal at most. But what will have increased is the faith and the hope and the promise of the one to whom you give the gift. And after you do that, I want you to imagine the response of the Master to you saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let us pray. Gracious God, be with us in these coming days. Help us to be generous, wildly generous in your world, to take the gifts that you have given us in the first place and to share them in ways that would please you and inspire others. Help us, God, to follow you in all ways, and most especially in this day. Amen.